What's good, y'all? You know who it is. It's your boy, Big Tank. Hank, coming at you with another live stream. We got our Saturday Herp edition. Hank's wild about herps. And who else is wild about herps with me? None other than Lifeline Reptiles. We've been seeing ball pythons. We have seen some geckos. We might get a chance to see some hots today, y'all. We're gonna see what he got available and how he got going with this thing. So let's jump on in here and see what's going on with him. What's going on, Darius?
Going on, man. How are you doing?
Oh, man, doing good. I'm doing good. Hey, y'all can't tell by looking at us on the screen right here. We've been glitching and all kinds of stuff before we went live, but we looking good right now. So we're going to roll with it, knock on the wood. All right. What's going on, man?
Just another day dealing with 120-degree temperatures.
Oh, I think that's everywhere. Yeah. Yes, Lord.
Yeah, I think it's some of the worst that's come through in a while for a lot of states.
And for such a duration, man. I mean, it started early, and then it's just riding, like, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, and I've been in the process of moving through all this, so nothing but carrying heavy stuff and sweating.
Oh, amen. Bless you, though. Bless you. Hey, we're gonna run over here to the chat right quick and see who our early comers is, and then I'm going to have you take the floor. Give them a little of your background, how you started, how you got in the game, all the way up to what you're doing now, and then we're gonna roll from there.
All right.
Jay Carbonbuka from the Philippines, welcome in. PB Aquatics, hey y'all. That's my twin right there. I didn't shave my beard off, but PB looked just like me. He just light-skinned it.
Oh yeah.
Dominique, what's going on? Thank you for coming through. All right. Darius, just give him a little intro, you know, on yourself. Tell him how you got started. And then we're going to roll with this thing.
All right. So I'm Darius Neighbors. I started doing a Lifeline, kind of publicly doing it anyways, for about 4 months now. 4 months ago is about when I started it. I'm 27, so I've been keeping snakes and just about everything else most of my life. My dad was real big into reptiles and animals, and growing up we had milk snakes and corn snakes, bull snakes, all that kind of stuff, ball pythons. I got older, I started keeping Burmese pythons, reticulated pythons, some of the larger stuff, and pretty much just decided that I wanted to do something a little bit more challenging and get more involved with some of the stuff that I had a bigger interest in. And starting with the Gaboons, I was real into Gaboons and some of the large vipers, and kind of just blew it up from there, and decided that I wanted to do something a little purposeful, I guess. That's where the whole idea came from, and pretty much just trying to educate and spread awareness and get other people to see something kind of beautiful about something they might be scared of, I guess. You know, we're doing snakes now, but we're going to be getting involved with alligators and crocodilians, and doing kind of a wide variety of different animals, and really just try to get out there, really.
Man, that's cool. Hey, I'm here to tell you now, I probably won't be dealing with no hots no time soon.
Yeah.
But my favorite snake is the Gaboon viper.
Oh yeah. Yeah, there's
blood python is number two, but my favorite is the Gaboon, yeah, man.
Yeah, the blood python might be the best one to start with.
Yeah.
The Gaboons are awesome, man. You know, as a child, like, I always loved the spitting cobras. That was kind of what when I was a little kid, the spitting Oh yeah, they were some of the cool. But as I got older, and I remember the first time I saw a Gaboon, and there's nothing else that looks like it. It's a very, very interesting creature, man. The way they work is different. People think, you know, they just lay around and that's all, you know, they don't do anything. But they're actually, so they're a predator, but they're an ambush predator. And what they do is they'll lay in one spot for weeks at a time, and they have the capability of shutting down parts of their muscles and just using very small vibrations to keep those muscles from going weak. And they can lay there flat still and wait for however long they need to eat. They'll use their eyes, twitch them to make them look like bugs. And with the patterns on them, you can't even pick them up. If you're out in if you're out in the forests, or, you know, you wouldn't see them if you were coming. I mean, absolutely invisible when they're inside of foliage.
Oh, viper, man. Hey, you talking about spitting cobra. Mm-hmm. Look, cobra looks like a little guy in a suit, man.
Yeah.
You know, if it's anything, you know, we have the misnomers and the old wives' tales. You know, but when it comes to cobra, I kind of believe the wives' tales, but it looks like it's evil.
Yeah.
I swear. It looks like it's plotting and thinking at all times, and some legs and arms are gonna pop out. Oh man.
Yeah, there's a lot of cobras especially. There's a lot of myth and lore around them. And a lot of that, I think, comes with the fact that you have this animal that thinks, and it pays attention to what goes on around it. And a lot of people, you know, cobras, they use that eyesight, and they have an ability to understand, you know, their territories. They have an understanding of what's around them, and they're hunters. That's a big thing with them, is they're a hunter. They're not they don't wait. They don't stalk. They go after everything they're looking for.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Now, I will say one thing with cobras, man, is that it almost looks like they go stupid whenever food gets involved in the situation. Striking in every direction and looking. You got to watch them.
Man, look, you can't say, oh, let me use a little sleight of hand and let me. No, there's no mouse in that hand. I'm not looking at that hand. I know which. Oh, man, no.
Yep.
No, but yes, man, the Gaboon, though. Yeah, that's it. That's it for me right there, man. But hey, what? Oh my goodness. So, are you going to like schools and stuff for the education? How are you getting the information out?
So I plan on it. I haven't yet. Okay. Like I said, we're still pretty new. Right now we're really kind of building our kind of getting attention, and luckily, you know, we've been fortunate that lately we've gotten a lot of attention to our social media platforms, but the idea is to build up as much as we can, have a little bit behind us to, you know, to speak for us. That way we could start doing I'd like to do educational programs for law enforcement. I'd like to do educational programs that involve going to schools and speaking to children. Anything that's going to kind of bring awareness to anything that involves, you know, conservation, as far as habitat destruction, or even just, you know, showing a little bit of love for animals that we're kind of programmed to hate. I think everything here, you know, we don't understand a lot in human nature. We're kind of a self-destructive species. We kind of destroy whatever comes up around us that we don't like or agree with, and then we pass that down to the next generation. And I think ultimately we need to teach people how to understand and respect everything around us, because those little things, man, you remove one link from that chain and the whole thing's weaker. Every animal has its purpose. Everything from alligators to snakes to lizards and geckos, everything has a reason to be here. If you remove one just because you're told not to like it, that's detrimental to the future. And so our goal is to try to get that out and share that as much as possible. We're going to be on we'll be on YouTube pretty soon. We're going to get involved with YouTube. But right now we're working on kind of our footing, making sure we've got a nice group under us to kind of build from.
Okay. Yeah, that's cool, man. That's very cool. And when I say beyond a interesting and very important endeavor, I can remember as a young fella having the school programs where people would come in with the different types of animals, you know, to educate us in conservation and to dispel a lot of the myths and the misnomers, to tell us as little kids, don't go and pick this up, even though it's not, It's not dangerous if you don't bother, but don't go and just pick it up, you know.
Yeah, man, no, that's cool.
Yeah, that's a big part of it is, you know, that respect aspect is teaching people, you know, there's a time and a place for that kind of thing. And with all animals and where people get involved with it, and especially with children is, you know, it's one thing to teach a kid, hey, this is a dangerous animal, kill it if you see it. And it's another thing to teach a child, hey, this is a dangerous animal, but it has a purpose, you know, check it out from a distance, have your interest in it. But then walk away and let it do what it's doing. You know, it's got a reason for being in that spot.
Yeah, yeah. How old are you?
27.
Oh, man. I'm 50.
Yeah.
Okay, so I don't know. I'm going to ask this question anyway. Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen Ricky Ticky Tavi?
It sounds familiar, but I don't believe I have.
You might need to make a note and YouTube it. It's this animated mongoose that would be in and I can't say he was in this mortal warfare against these cobras, but mm-hmm. he had this family he lived with, and there was these cobras. There was a king and a queen, you know, husband and wife, and they had the babies, you know, they had the eggs, and the cobras decided they wanted to go into these people's house. I think it was India, you know, and the mongoose is like, hey, these are my people, y'all can't be here. And they talk to each other. I mean, it's almost like a drama, you know. It's not really comedic, but it's animated, you know. And then it gets to where it's almost like the mongoose goes Super Saiyan, you know, in order to get rid of these two snakes. It's real interesting. You might want to check that out, though.
Yeah, what
Ricky Ticky Tavi.
Ricky Ticky Tavi. I'll check that out. That's interesting.
Ricky Ticky Tavi. It's cool. I remember, and you know, those specials used to come on like every summer. Every summer, it would be the same one. But you know, as a kid, it's like, oh man, you know, it's summer, man. Ricky Ticky Tavi is coming on. I gotta watch to see out of my three TV stations which one is gonna come on.
Yeah. Yeah,
but yeah, that's just a little something, man. Oh man, you said 27. God, dog, I wish I was still 27. But what other animals do you have that you take care of right now?
So we've started doing some stuff with some young alligators. We're primarily doing things with snakes at the moment. The alligators, we're waiting to do all of our permitting. In Texas, we have to do basically it would be an alligator farming license, which is typically used for raising them for like product, but we're trying to figure out if that's what we're going to need in order to raise them to try and get them some of the population stuff. Snakes, we're going to be doing like alligator snapping turtles here soon. I want to start getting involved in some of the breeding with those. Those are another one a lot of people don't realize are you can buy them as pets and you can pick them up from different people and it's perfectly legal, but you can't take them out of the wild because of the fact that they're not endangered, but they're not doing very well in the wild. And so I want to pick up a couple pairs of them to start doing some captive population and see where I can get involved as far as programs go for that. And really, we're just gonna be branching off from there. We want to get involved with some of the alligators, some of the snapping turtles, different types of snakes. And then of course, we also want to be doing some breeding for pets and keeping and different stuff like that. But that'll obviously be non-venomous. As far as our venomous goes, everything we sell goes to other people that are involved in what we do ourselves, rather than just people, you know, for pets or keeping. But yeah.
And you would make them show you some type of credentials or something of that nature for those hots?
Yeah, so I always make sure that they're, if I'm selling anything, I try to make sure that they have a permit with them or a picture of their permit that I can look at and is an actual permit. Now, in Texas, that's kind of because anyone can get a permit. You can go pay $20 for one. It's not like Florida, which Florida, I think, as far as their permitting goes, I think it would be more beneficial for most states to have a little bit more ruling as far as those permits go. But Florida's also got a lot of stuff going on that I don't agree with at the moment. But anyways, Texas is very lax on their rules for keeping venomous. So I try to have a conversation with them and see where they're at, you know, what they know about, what they're talking about, where their experience level is. Because, you know, like I said, I could sell copperheads and all that kind of stuff to people that don't even have permits. But I don't want to be the one who's responsible for selling it to somebody and then they get hurt. Or if they're not doing something that's benefiting animals, there's no place for it. So I don't want to be someone to give it to them and then they do something that hurts the entire community. There's some sort of level of experience to keep those animals.
Gotcha.
Hold on, you're glitching a little bit. Let it catch up. All right, I think you're good.
All right.
Yep.
Okay.
Relaunch so your fire. What's going on? I keep fish and one red-eyed tree frog.
Okay.
Now.
So what got you into aquatics?
Well, man, this goes back, man. I'm 40 years old. I'm going to say 40 years. If I could catch it, I was putting it in a container. So that's why, you know, like,
yeah.
I'm from the fish side of the hobby. And for the most part, everybody has aquatics at the end of their name. Whereas mine is just Big Tank Hank, just, you know, with a preface on the tank. Because tanks, if I could put it in a tank, I was going to put it in a Now, these are all, you know, sourced at the house. You know, I was herping before I knew what herping was. I had musk turtles, red-eared sliders, tarantulas, bullfrogs, toads, skinks, anoles, house geckos, nile monitors. I bought them. Oh, man, he's gone. Whatever. I was so deep in my remembrance, I didn't realize he was off the screen. But he'll be back here pretty soon. He's moving and they've been moving around the Wi-Fi and whatnot, and it's been acting up a little bit. But yeah, y'all, thank y'all for coming through to this Hank's Wild About Herbs. We're trying to get this thing rolling. We're trying to make this really into something. You know, the same way as the Fishy Den, you know, has kind of solidified itself a space in the mosaic of the fish hobby. Here he is.
There we go.
All right.
Am I back on?
You're back on. Hey, I was telling them I had got out here and got lost into my remembrances. I looked up and you was gone. I was like, oh man.
it started shutting down on me for a minute. Thank you.
Yeah, we talked about it earlier. I told you I didn't have time where it was just drooping. Oh man, okay.
Yeah, we just we just moved into a new house and got all our internet changed up and stuff. So I think that's probably a little bit to do with it.
New is the key word. New, man. New. I'm loving it. So
what was that?
Oh, and that froze up there. I looked like I froze up, didn't I? No, I was off the edge. So moving into the new house. Did you move because you wanted more room for y'all? Or did you move because you wanted more room for your reptiles?
it was actually just time to get a new house. The house we were in, it was all bought out by a storage facility. So they're developing all the property and everything. And
Okay.
Yeah, we're moving to a new one. But I need more room for everything, man. Not only just animals, but kids.
I'm done.
Yeah. by the time the fourth one came, I was finished at that. I think that'll be it for me.
How young is the fourth one?
The fourth one just turned 5.
Ooh, well, you know. Okay, my youngest is 19, but
Okay.
I have a 6 month old. I have a 6 month old grandbaby in the house. So technically, no, I guess yeah. it's still the same. You know.
Yeah. 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 We
might have not be mine.
No, we had them all back to back. It's all it's 5, 7, 8, and 9.
And Dominique says she feel you. She got 4 and her youngest is 5.
Oh yeah. Yep.
Dominique, I checked out Macho's little superhero videos going down last night. Hey, y'all push that little man to keep him rolling behind that camera. Let him make something out of this.
Yeah.
So, give us a picture, unless you can show us. But since you're just moving, give us a picture of what kind of setup you have in regards to maintaining your critters.
Yeah, I can show you. Hopefully, it doesn't freeze up. Let's see. So right now, and we're still in the process of getting everything set up, but it's still kind of temporary. But this is what we use for some of the kind of middle size. So we have the cobras inside here. And then Western Diamondbacks. Puff Adder. And then Gaboon Vibrant.
Oh, the camera's not cooperating.
Is it better now?
Oh no, it was just the darkness inside the arm. The feed was fine. The feed was fine.
Okay. I do have some that are in tubs. They're all getting new mulch today, so I just finished the V's. You'll probably be able to see them a lot better. So
Diamondback.
These are Mojaves actually.
Oh, Mojave.
And then these are Eastern Copperheads.
Copperhead. Yeah, those two, you know, I can tell them from a distance. I'm in Texas.
Oh yeah. Here's a young female Gaboon.
Ooh, Gaboon, Gaboon, Gaboon.
And then a red variable bush viper. Might get a better.
Oh, up on the tree there.
Yeah. And so they're all, right now their cages are empty because I'm changing everything out and putting mulch in and cleaning everything up. And then we've got more stuff that's coming back this way. Yeah, all kinds of stuff. So moving's fun.
Oh, man. Yeah. Moment of silence for moving.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mexicali. Hey, thank you for coming in, Mexicali said. All right, let's time to work on his phobia. He was on my stream last night and he was telling me he come through and watched the fish. But the snakes, he ain't real big on. But he said he was going to be here. And there he is. All right, brother. Hey, in a minute, man. In a minute. Say, PB, my wife would kill me if I was to bring home a snake. Hey, you gotta do like I did. My wife said, you know, hey, if I get a new car, you can get a snake. I'm like, what? I was like, new? She was like, no, you know, a new word, but okay. Well, she's had that car now for about 3 weeks now, y'all. So you know what time it is.
Yeah.
I'm going to be patient. I'm going to research. I'm going to, you know, I don't want to just jump out there. But yeah, it's that time.
My wife is not.
Steve, what's going on? How does she deal with it?
Yeah, so So back when we had first, about 8 years ago, I had gotten some red-tailed boas that I was keeping, and she was okay with it for a while, but then she just could not. She wasn't okay with it, and that was like one of her big fears. So I was respectful of it and found a place for them to go and got them some new homes, and went a couple years without anything, didn't keep anything for a little while. And after I finally kind of talked to her about it and worked it out, she agreed to let me do it as long as I made sure everything was completely locked away. And of course, I took it as far as I could and got some real dangerous. But she's been extremely easy working with me because, like I said, this is probably one of her biggest fears, but she knows it's a passion of mine, so I can't complain. A lot of people wouldn't get to.
That's cool. That's cool. Yeah, my wife is not crazy about frogs either, but that red-eyed tree frog, in many a year, you know, she hadn't had to see it, but she's been pretty decent at it.
Yeah, yeah, those red-eyed tree frogs are pretty, man. Those are some good-looking little frogs.
Yeah, he'd be chilling. I have to sneak up on him, come in here about midnight, with a flashlight, come through the door.
Yeah, get a peek of him.
And then he's on the glass like, hey, man.
Yeah.
Told you by coming, you know.
Yeah.
Other than that, you got to find him under a leaf, behind a leaf, or something.
Oh, yeah.
No, he's pretty cool. He's pretty cool.
Yeah, I used to do some of the saltwater fish, and I'm probably going to do another tank soon enough. I always loved the different puffer fish. We had kept I had puffer fish. I had some zebra eels, lionfish, different things like that, and they're always interesting to watch, especially some of the more predatory fish. I was always really interested in them. I'm no expert on it by any means, but I've always enjoyed them.
Most definitely. I've noticed, especially since I've always been into all critters, but you know, I just decided to let me spread my wings on camera, you know, and roll into this also, to learn how many people who you know, run hand in hand, who were like, oh man, I actually have fish too, or I had fish, or I have snakes too, Hank, you didn't know? I'm like, no, I didn't. But you know, I'm glad, because this was like a walk, you know, like one of those step of faith, man. You know, your fish people, they ain't gonna like this, you know.
Yeah.
But you know, I found out there's a lot of them that, you know, I guess they probably felt like I did, you know. They had them over to the side. If the camera go, but hurry up, make the camera go, so that, you know, wouldn't nobody see that they had a snake.
Yeah.
Especially the beta people, you know. Oh man, you have something other than a beta. Oh my god.
Yeah. yeah, that's a big thing, man. No, the fish, the aquariums, and I, especially whenever I had gotten into it, started keeping them. It's, and Houston is such a great area for it. So many different places you can go. I mean, as far, I think there's Fish R Us at one point, and then a few different ones that had some really amazing animals that you could select from. And they're just interesting to watch, especially when you start building like the coral reef systems and some self filtration systems, different things like that. Just really really cool setups.
Yeah, most definitely. Hey y'all, fish people that watch this replay, remember I told you that Houston was full of LFSs. Every corner you could buy some fish. See, he just said, I didn't even solicit that. It's fish all over the place here, y'all.
Oh yeah. Yeah, there's, I would say that was probably what was easy for me to get into the keeping the saltwater aquariums and stuff is, I mean, everywhere you go in Houston, you can find people who are keeping them and selling them. And yeah, I think they even have some shows that are specific for fish.
Yeah, yeah, most definitely. Let's see. Thank you, Melvin, man. Thank you. You know, come, hey, that's all I ask. You know what I'm saying? Just come through and put your eyes on the screen. You know what I'm saying? Get that. Hey, that's what I'm talking about. Appreciate the support. Appreciate you. But yeah, going forward, how big do you want this to be? And do you already have any affiliations with other outside entities that, you know, that's also trying to do what you're doing?
No, I mean, other than some different people I've talked to through Instagram and whatnot that have kind of the same outlook as I do, or trying to do some of the same thing. Really, like I said, we're pretty new as far as publicly sharing it with everybody. But my goal at the moment is just, if I right now this full time, and once I can do this full time, then I can really start to expand and go into it as far as conservation work, anything. That, you know, time that I can spend putting into the wildlife locally, and eventually even past that. But I'd like to get it as big as possible. I mean, there's not really a cap on it. My goal is to try and spend my time focused on doing something good for the world. So starting on online and then make it locally and then go throughout the country. And as far as I can make it, that's my goal.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Now, this question is, it's a little deep. I don't want to, you know, take all the oxygen out of the room, but the legal battle that's going on right now, and USARC, and where are you in, how can I put it? How do you feel? Because, I mean, you're an individual, so I guess I can ask the same question to everybody individually. I kind of know, but not really, because each individual has their own. And plus, your direction and what you're doing is a little bit different also. So, yeah. from your heart's standpoint, how do you feel about what they're trying to do?
Well, so, I mean, my outlook is, especially like with everything that's going on in Florida, is I think it's kind of a gross example of power. I think it's kind of like essentially this idea that they're just going to say, you know, we're not letting anybody do this anymore. And you know, that's everybody. That's not just venomous snakes. That's, you know, that's fish, snakes, lizard, anything that does not have a domesticated purpose with people. And to me, the problem, and especially with a place like Florida has one, they have a great ecosystem. They have the ability to keep these animals outside in outdoor enclosures, providing the great living situation that you can to a majority of these animals. And they have a huge economy for these animals. I mean, the amount of money that it pumps in as far as the pet trade goes, let alone all of the wildlife workers that are there and the people that do stuff for conservation, do stuff for wildlife. And there's a big misunderstanding with the fact that a lot of that information comes from, a lot of the information that has to do with wildlife in general comes from private keepers. It comes from people that are taking care of these animals themselves. It's not coming from big organizations. It's coming from small private keepers that are taking in donations and maintaining these animals and doing their own work with those animals. And you start taking away that, we're going to lose a lot of people that are trying to do something beneficial for the world. But in general, at the end of the day, the problem is that you have a government trying to tell people what they are allowed to do and what they're not allowed to do. And the way that they're telling people, what they're telling people, especially with these animals that have done it their whole lives, they've built a whole life around these things, and they've spent years and years and years. You're taking away their livelihood. You're taking away their rights. You're taking away something
like that. Yeah,
exactly. And, you know, they say that, oh, well, there's going to be this white list. There's going to be this black list. And then, you know, which ones are going to be which. The thing is they're not going to care, you know, they're not going to go through and say, okay, well, this animal's allowed and this animal's not allowed. And this animal, they're going to blanket it. It's going to be everything. Let alone, once again, you know, where's their right to even do that? To tell us what, because, and a big question with the Everglades and with Florida is some of these animals that are out there, which, yes, there are some invasive species that are invasive, and we know that they're invasive, but there's also a lot of animals that are considered invasive that we don't really know if they are invasive. There was iguanas was one that I was reading about not too long ago, that iguanas have been in Florida for centuries. They've been there for a long time, longer than a lot of us can even remember. And they're also very good swimmers. And the idea is that, how do we know iguanas are even invasive to Florida? Because there's a good chance that they've always been in Florida, or that they made their own way to Florida, which then that they're already within their natural limit. And so then you start seeing different rules. Like, they had put a regulation. There was a lot of people who would go out hunting for iguanas. They'd find the iguanas and then they would sell them and ship them out of state. But then they made that illegal. And so it's like, okay, well, you don't want the iguanas here, but now you have people who are making a living bringing these animals into the pet trade, sending them to good homes outside of the state, but you don't want them to ship them off out of the state. Yet, if that's, then you lose the hunters. So it kind of makes no sense, because you're taking away livings, you're getting rid of of a possible chance or a way to get rid of the problem there, but then you're also stopping them from being able to go anywhere and keeping them in Florida. So it's kind of counterproductive. You're causing the issue at the same time that someone could be getting rid of it. And so it's kind of a hairy situation. I think Florida, instead of wanting to deal with it appropriately, I think they're kind of just trying to put a big stop to it. And the problem is you can't just stop everybody from doing so, especially when you have that big of a community in Florida to maintain that. And I think there's a lot of good people down there doing a lot of good things with those animals. And another thing is that there's no real proof showing that people are the problem for the invasion with those animals. A lot of that stuff had to do with hurricanes, which you could say, oh, well, people keeping them, you know, if they weren't keeping them, then the hurricanes wouldn't. But that's beyond the point. The fact is a lot of those animals were not released. It wasn't their people's fault for letting those animals go because they couldn't keep Burmeses anymore. There were hurricanes that destroyed facilities, and some of those animals got out, and it caused an issue in the local wildlife. But to punish your people for that isn't the problem. That's a completely different argument. But it's not the people's fault. And so to take away their right to keep those animals or be a part of that conservation effort, in my opinion, it just isn't fair. It isn't right.
Yeah. And of all places, I mean, that's the part that's still getting me. Okay, you can come to Texas and do that, you know.
Yeah.
Hey, we're gonna outlaw. Okay, all right. I feel you. that might be all right. Florida, come on.
Yeah.
They're everywhere. Okay. What about the wild parakeets? I mean, you know, parakeets on the High Line, just a big old giant parakeet nest. You know, I mean, what about that? What about all those types of things?
Yeah.
Florida, come on, man. It's there. They're there. They are there. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. And you see, like, Texas, for example, like, so here, like, Southeast Texas and majority of East Texas is considered on an ecological scale, or it's essentially been compared kind of like to the Everglades as far as the habitats go. The only other place that's comparable to this area of Texas anyway is considered the Everglades. And then when you start moving into like South Texas, South Central Texas and whatnot, you have this it's been compared a lot to like the African ecosystems and African weather temperaments. And you have these invasive or not invasive, or not, some of them are invasive, some of them aren't, but we have these big populations of things like axis deer and stuff like that, that are kept out in those areas. And it's kind of like, for hunters, for instance, you have a lot of these, high fence that goes on in Texas, and you have a lot of people that say a lot of bad things about high fenced hunting and high fence ranches and all this kind of stuff. But a lot of people don't realize that hunting is a part of what they use for funding for those animals. And it's a population control, but those people are actually doing more benefits to the wildlife that goes back into species that are losing their habitats in Africa. But we have full 50,000 plus populations in South Texas. And it's a huge benefit. It benefits those animals. It's going to make sure that if something happens in Africa, as far as habitat destruction goes or civilization growth, those animals are still around. We're not going to fully have gotten rid of them or wiped them out. And that's going to go back to those high fenced ranches that do a lot of hunting, because they're breeding animals that in the wild may not ever be here again, and they're keeping them around. So, you know, hunting and all that goes personal to, you know, person to person. I myself, I'm a hunter, I'm a fisher, and I do all of it within the guidelines of conservation. And a lot of those don't, all that money goes back to conservation and keeping up with those animals. But high fenced ranches throughout Texas are maintaining a lot of populations that might not exist in the future, and will be the only people that are making sure those animals are still around
and making it able, actually, if you wanted to reinstall populations, you could actually do that also.
Exactly.
Dominique, you might need to check and see if you're in live chat. That might be why you're missing comments. Yeah, man, it's politicians always. Somebody somewhere saw a dollar like flying away. That they're like, hey, man, nobody's claiming that dollar.
Exactly.
I'm gonna find a way to get it. I mean, there's nothing else. that can explain it, because it's like, come on, dude.
Yeah.
It's like coming to my front door, you know, hey, how you doing? Can I come in? And then you come in and just look around and just pick one something out of my house and say, you know, hey, sir, you can't have that, because, you know, it's not bothering anybody. Because invasive species, the majority of invasive species, one, can be food source for people, because there's people that eat them.
Oh, yeah.
Food sources for other animals, because there's other animals that eat them. And like Bosa said, you know, our regular little old feline,
mm-hmm.
it's the most craziest murderer running around in these wild streets.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And I had had a discussion with Mark's Reptiles not too long ago where we kind of brought that up, and you know, and it's one of those things where it's, and I have a dog, you know, I have no problem with dogs and cats and all that kind of stuff. They're great family animals. Ultimately though, they have zero purpose in our food chain. They're a human produced creature essentially. And cats are an extremely, they destroy ecosystems. Cats are extremely bad for the wildlife in local areas. And if you have them get out, once they get out, dogs, for instance, dogs do not survive very well on their own.
Yeah.
Like dogs are most likely to die if they're introduced into the wild and nobody comes to come back for them. Cats can get out and then learn how to hunt and then become self-sufficient and essentially destroy an ecosystem. Like they have no problem with it. They'll eat and kill anything that comes around them. And it's just how they are. And like I said, I'm not, you know, to anybody who has cats or dogs, I mean, I have no problem with them. I have dogs. I've had cats. I think they're great animals. But my reason for bringing those things up is that you have to, whenever you start picking at one person, you got to include all those groups. When you start talking about, oh, well, you can't keep this animal, you can't have that animal, well, those laws impede on everybody. And that's why everybody needs to be involved in it, because they're going to come after you too. You know, ultimately, they're going to come after anybody that they want to come after. And the point is that people, as people, we have the right to stand for what we want to stand for and do what we want to do. That's not what they're there for. They're there to help keep guidelines, maintain people's taxes, make sure we as people are have the things that we need to have. They're not supposed to be there to tell us what we can and cannot do on a daily basis with our own personal lives and what kind of conservation we can get involved in or what we're going to do with other animals. And that's what we're basically seeing in Florida is an entire, you know, people that are part of generations and generations of keeping these animals and being involved with those animals being told that, hey, you're not allowed to do this anymore. We're not going to let you, you know, you spend 30 years taking care of big cats or taking care of reptiles or taking care of fish, whatever it is. And somebody one day just says, hey, all of them need to be gone in 30 days. And that's just not right.
Yep. Yep. And actually right now, I mean, that same legislature, it's coming at us too. Fish. I mean, the whole nine. Yeah. It's across the board. Yeah. It's across the board. We're not just sitting back peeping at the reptile people, you know, it's getting us too.
Oh yeah.
Or I mean, trying to. Yeah.
Trying to. Yeah. And it's one of those things that it's, you know, just like taking your kids. Like I have four kids, and I remember being a child and getting my first snake. I remember my dad getting snakes and you know, that feeling of having an animal and having something to take care of and something to look forward to, having that interest and something, you know, as a child, like I was obsessed with dragons. Dragons were like my whole world, you know, because I thought
that I still like them.
Yeah. And, you know, we're talking about generations of kids that'll never get that experience. Like, you know, if say something like that happened and spread over to Texas and it became a thing, you know, that's saying my child will never be able to hold a ball python. You know, that's incredible. Like that in a negative way, it's terrible. But, you know, you're telling people that they can't keep fish. Like you can't keep a fish. I mean, I can tell you now, I might be wrong, but I don't know of one fish that is now invasive due to a person taking that fish to the ocean and letting it go. You know what I mean? That's just not what happens. And so it's crazy to me that you're going to tell all these people that they can't have this, or they can't share this with their children, or they can't make a living or get involved in conservation or keeping these animals or breeding these animals, all because of stuff that you can't even really relate back to people being the problem.
Yeah, I got you. Well, maybe the pleco. I don't know. People eat it, but I don't know if it was a fish tank thing, or they escaped from, you know, the little Vietnamese food street food vendors and things of that nature. I don't know if it was one of those types of things, because pleco just don't care. You know, they go find a hole in its own.
Yeah,
but that's about the only one that I could say that I'm like,
No, I mean, there's definitely, like, lionfish, for instance, are an invasive species. And lionfish have caused a huge amount of destruction to reef systems. But, and like I said, I don't know all the details, so I can't speak on it too much. But I believe that was just through their natural expansion far as the population went. I don't believe anybody just, like, took a lionfish down to the ocean and was like, be free, you know, throw a lionfish out in the water. And
it took off.
Exactly. Next thing you know, it's all these reef systems. A lot of those things are from natural growth populations and expanding out into other ecosystems, and which, you know, comes back to humans even. I mean, humans having their place in the chain system and maintaining populations the way that we need to, just like any other animal.
Yeah. Because they're not landlocked.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not the same as people, and some of these land animals, they can go where they want.
Definitely. Now, off the tangent question. Favorite guilty snack pleasure?
Favorite guilty snack pleasure? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's a hard question. Man, I'm probably a tortilla chip and salsa person over anything.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Pretty good.
That's a big one.
See, we make a lot of tacos, but I get flour tortillas and I make chips out of the flour tortillas.
Oh yeah.
And then you can season them as you see fit, and then you get you some dip of your choice. Oh man.
Yeah, we'll take corn tortillas, which I'm not a big corn tortilla person personally, which is terrible to everybody, but you can't say that anywhere. I prefer the soft flour tortillas over anything, but I'll take those corn tortillas and cut them up into triangles, and then I'll put whatever kind of seasonings and whatnot, a little bit of oil, and bake them. And it makes some awesome tortilla chips.
Yeah. I'm down with you. I'm down with Chuck. I'm down with that. Man, that's great. Now, out of all of the, I'm gonna stick on the reptile, all the reptilia walking the earth, what is 3/4? What is your favorite that you have now? What is the one that you most desire? And what is your favorite overall?
Okay. So my favorite that I have now would definitely be the Gaboons. Most desire, that's a hard one. Man, it'd be pretty cool to get in, do some stuff with the Komodo dragons, I would say, as far as most desire. and then I think my overall favorite would be, the American alligators and crocodilians in general. I love alligators, crocodiles, caiman, all of them.
Okay. Yeah, I had some caiman. Did you hear all of my list? Or was you out of there before you heard everything that I had or owned at one point?
Oh, no, I haven't heard your whole list.
Well, caimans was one. And okay. But I had Nile monitors, man. I had king snakes. I done ball pythons. Man, big tank. Hank, it's not new.
Yeah.
I've had some everything. I've had pet crickets, mantis, roly-polies, man, crawfish.
Yeah.
When I was a youngster, everything was in danger. I was coming.
Yeah. I couldn't keep crawfish, man. I'd eat every single one of them, to be honest with you.
Hey! Here's the crazy part. born and raised in Texas. Man, I didn't know people ate crawfish until, man, I was a big boy. I mean, I was still a teenager, I think, but I mean, and it was funny to me because South Texas, I mean, you know where I'm from. You know the area I'm from.
Yeah.
Oh, me and my buddy would catch them all. We got them in tubs. Man, if we had known, we could have probably.
Yeah. Yep. No, I set crawfish traps and all that kind of stuff, man. We'll have them just walking around the road sometimes out in the, like, Madisonville area and going out towards Livingston. You'll have them just crawling across the road.
Yeah, across the street.
Yeah, no, man. I love, like, the crawfish and all that kind of stuff. Crawfish etouffee, crawfish boils. Man, any of it. I could do it all day long, dude.
I'm like that with alligator, though.
Oh, yeah. You like the alligator?
Man, that's my favorite cut of meat, man. Oh, yeah. My God.
Alligator tail, deep fried, too, man. Deep fried, you can salt them. I've even done, like, stews with the crawfish and alligator tail, all that kind of stuff.
With them old Creole and crawfish sauce piquant. Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. Ah! Yeah, you can't beat it, man. It's coming
back. Hey, yeah. Bosa, I like them cracklings, man, but my teeth might crackle with them, so I have to, you know, yeah. I have to weigh it. Pork rinds or cracklings, man. But yeah, I'm right there with you.
Oh yeah, man, it's all good. We do a lot of that. I'm big barbecue and all that. We do from hogs all the way down briskets, all the Texas foods, man. Tacos, and then of course we're big on the crawfish. You know, gumbos, jambalayas, crawfish boils, alligator tails. We've done snapping turtle, all that kind of stuff. You can't beat.
Have you ever had? I don't know if I would even say it was medium, but we would have soft shell turtle this big, and they fry the whole turtle.
I've never done them like the whole turtle. We've taken the meat off of it, cutting from, yeah, as far as the legs and your all the meat that goes around the sides. I've never done a whole turtle before.
Oh, but man, I do not understand. I still today don't understand. We were having a birthday party for one of my aunts.
Yeah.
And one of my cousins, his friends, you know, he brought a whole thing, you know. I mean, you know, they had no heads on it and stuff like that. But, I mean, you fried and you could eat the whole, like, I mean, cleaned it out. But the bones, there was no bones in the way. I mean,
wow.
Unless maybe I had, you know, a lot of the, you know, libation. And maybe on the underside, there was nothing under there. But, I mean, you could see the shell and stuff. I mean, I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did that one.
Yeah, I've never done a whole turtle before. That's wild. Yeah, see, because I'm real big. You know, part of my interest with conservation and all that is hunting and fishing. I'm big on game foods. I'm not perfect. I've said it before, man. I've got my things with fast food, and everybody does, just snacks and all that. But I try to maintain that game diet more so than anything, because, like I said, we're all part of that food chain. We have a purpose to serve, and it's a part of conservation whenever you look down to it. Not only conservation, but tradition. And if you're doing it properly and you're doing what you're supposed to do, you're helping maintain those species. And it's proven, especially in Texas, to help those populations grow. And we do a lot, man. I've got a freezer stuffed of everything from bullfrog legs to deer meat to hog meat to everything. And we do it all within the... Oh, yeah. Deep fried legs and... you know, it does. It serves its purpose in the local habitats and the wildlife, and we make sure that we stay within our limits and what's right. And at the same time, we're feeding ourselves the stuff that our bodies are making. And that's a big difference. Making sure you're eating the things you're supposed to eat.
I'll eat it all. I hear you. Hey, yeah. Correction. It was soft shell crab.
Okay. Yeah, I know what you're talking about now.
Because I was still running it through my head. I'm like, man, okay, no turtle. That would be real a hard thing to pull off. Then I kept, I'm like, no, soft shell crab. It was soft shell crab.
Okay.
Yeah.
Man, I tell you, some of those snow crabs and stuff, I could tear that up, dude. There's crabs and shrimp, all that stuff.
Hey, believe it or not, I had a 2-hour live stream where I talked nothing but snack with a guest. Just we didn't speak of not one fish.
I could go down that wormhole, trust me.
We went back to childhood, what you don't see anymore, what has changed. Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm going to try not to go there, because you done got me started, you know, and I'm not a little fella.
I'm going to say, hey, trust me, we're talking back, about
you. Man, back in my power lifting days, when I tell you it was no holes barred, oh, it was no. And I used to barbecue all the time. And I would not have sides. I'd have a fork, sauce, meat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll take a couple of crackers. Let me get my 5 crackers. Other than that.
That's how I am with brisket, man. I'm gonna go the Texas way and take that high cholesterol with me. I'll never give up that brisket.
Okay, hold on. Hey, throw that rope back down this wormhole. Hold on. I'm finna save us, y'all. Hold on. Okay. All right, we finna get up out of here. Out this wormhole. Okay. So, if you could have a Komodo dragon, what would be your setup?
Oh man, that's a good question. That's why I don't have a Komodo dragon. outside of the limits of the law. You'd have to have a good amount of space. It'd just be outdoors in general. A humid outdoors enclosure, I think, is probably the only way you could keep a Komodo dragon.
Komodo dragon. Yeah, I had to ask the question because I had a, you know what American Bulldog is?
Yeah.
I had an American Bulldog, and he was close to 200 pounds. Oh, and I could barely keep him in anything. Like, kennel, man, he'll be at my grandmother's house. And say, boy, you better come get this dog. Only way I could catch him is I'd get his bowl and put some rocks in it.
Oh, yeah.
And shake his bowl. Because he knew what he had done. But he just would fall for that food every time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Ooh, man.
Yeah, we do that with our dog to call him back inside. We'll go out there and stand on a porch, hold up a big thing of treats, and just shake it and yell his name. That dog will come running as if he's going for the buffet.
Double fence, 5 acres for a dragon. I hear you. I want to get a Bigfoot myself and keep me one of them. We're gonna glance over that like I didn't say that, but I put that out there.
Yep.
Oh man. So, on your breeding, are you currently breeding any reptiles?
No, not at, so. I mean, in general, I am at this very moment. I'm not. Closer to the end of the year, I'll probably start getting everything is, you know, cooling down. Start doing some different stuff and getting them ready for it. Hopefully by next year I'll have some clutches. But I'm really just I'm less of a breeder and more of a keeper, I would say, than anything. I do breeding, but I kind of want it to take its own course whenever I do it. So I'll kind of make the situation a little bit more appropriate for breeding. But if they don't hook up or they do hook up, I never push it. I more so just let it flow with the way that they decide to take it. Like I said, close to the end of the year, I'll have everyone paired up, get everything just right. And then we'll see what comes out, if anything happens. And then, some of those will be sold. Some of them will probably be donated. And trying to see if I can get anything going as far as getting some of these babies to people that might be able to get some venom out of them and benefit medications and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you, was that venomous or like ball python?
Say that again?
No, that's what I was going to ask you. Was that venomous or ball python?
Venomous. Yeah, it'll be venomous. I'll do some non-venomous eventually, but at the moment I'm not keeping anything. I used to do reticulated pythons, breeding with those and whatnot, but I haven't been keeping any for a while. Eventually I'll do reach again. I want to do some like king snakes, and I'll probably do a couple different ball pythons and different stuff like that. But at the moment, it's all venomous.
Okay. Yeah, those I've seen I guess I can say resurgence, depending on who you're talking to. Like the little milk snakes, king snakes, you know, like that, the hog noses, you know, just getting super popular, and it was surprising to me.
Yeah. Hog noses, I kept hog noses. I'm gonna definitely do some more of those, man. Hog noses are they're absolutely adorable. I mean, they're the puppy of the snake world, I think. But they're pretty cool. I'm gonna do a couple more. I wanna do some stuff with some of the supercondas and different things like that have to do with the Western hog noses.
Okay. And I saw a hog nose. I didn't know we had hog noses down here. I mean, I don't know how prevalent they are, but I saw a hog nose at Hempstead High School track, you know, like the track.
Yeah.
Well, just one who was going across and he saw us and rolled over and flattened out and like, hey.
Yep. Yeah, mine, there's definitely a good amount of them in Texas. I want to say both Westerns and Easterns are in Texas. I've never had one play dead, but I have had them where they flatten their heads out, completely flatten them out, and then they'll sit there and make that, it's like a rattling almost, the way that they huff. And I think it's literally like the most pretend rattlesnake thing I've ever seen in my life.
the most pretend, like I don't believe you.
Yeah. Yeah, they're awesome, man. They're the cutest things in the world.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I need to do a video one day of one of my Westerns with the tail rattling and everything, and then have a hog nose separately right off to the side.
Viral. Hey, that'll be a TikTok takeoff right there.
Right.
Yeah. So, are you on TikTok? Yeah.
Yeah, so we're doing our two biggest platforms so far, TikTok and Instagram. But we're also doing Twitter. We have a Facebook. And then, like I said, here real soon, we'll be getting a YouTube going and have, obviously, there'll be longer videos than what we're putting out now and have more educational information. Also, just stuff going out, doing some actual herping and getting involved with other people locally. I'd like to talk to a few people around the Texas area that are also in the same genre doing this with animals, and bring some people on and just do some entertainment.
Gotcha. So is there anything, we've hit that hour mark, is there anything you want to plug, anybody you want to plug?
No, I mean, just like I said, we're on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, Facebook. It's all Lifeline Reptiles. You know, if you're into snakes or animals in general and wildlife, check it out. You know, give us a like or a follow.
Where'd the name come from?
Yeah, so I was trying to come up with something that would be I wanted something that was kind of beneficial for the idea of, you know, it being a lifeline for the animals, or something that was benefiting the animals. And I came up with a list of names, and Lifeline Reptiles was on there, and I'd actually messaged my brother-in-law and asked him which one he thought, and he said that's the one he liked the most, so that's the one I ended up going with.
Okay. Yeah, I thought it was something deeper. I had a list.
the idea was just basically it's like having a lifeline for the animals. That's kind of,
hey man,
whole intention. Hey, man.
That was like when people asked me about, you know, well, how'd you get Big Tank Hank? I was like, well, Big Bank Hank was in the Sugar Hill Gang. And that's the way it came from. I mean, you know. But man, look, I'm so glad that you came on here, and I appreciate you. And I want to say this earlier when you were talking about getting yourselves out there, you know, just now going public and getting attention. I'm like, you got my attention. Just
thank you.
So I mean, it's working. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I'm trying. Yeah. Thanks for having me on here and let me speak to your people.
Most definitely. And once this gets rolling, see, I'm the replay king. I don't know why they relegate me to replay, man. But you know, yeah. I get the regular group that comes sit in, and then it takes off. You know, once I hit the end, but then I get notifications. I'm like, oh, so you didn't want to talk to me? You didn't want to come in the chat and say you were here? You know, but that's okay. Hey, y'all, don't take that. Don't be mad at me. Just jokes. Hey, if you see it live and not live, hey, I appreciate you both ways.
Oh, no, I appreciate you having me on here and you know, asking the questions you ask, man. I'm just trying to get all this information out there. So, anybody who's interested, man.
Gotcha. And hey, what I want to do, I have a few other people that I'm thinking of these types of things. What I want to start a, and it'll be maybe like a short. It's not gonna be an hour, but you know, like let me see what you got, something like that. Maybe I shouldn't have said that out loud because somebody might steal that. But especially dealing with your hots, man. You know, I don't want to put you in, you know, just a precarious position. They're yours. And you have to get them used to the interaction, but just willy nilly handling, you know, poisonous snakes, that's a whole situation.
I'm always always willing to do it. We can plan something out and we can get them out and show them off.
Yeah, I want to do me a little short thing, 15 minutes or so. Boom, put it out there for the people. I know. See, I'm a talker. I talk, man. I know them. I'm nosy, getting people business. And you know, and we end up talking about snacks and, you know, briskets and tacos. And so,
easy way to get everybody.
Hey, on my streams, even with the fish, people really don't get to see many animals because I end up talking past the time. So I say, well, I think I'm going to start doing just something for that, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Just let me know. I'm always willing.
All right, man. We'll do that. Thank y'all for coming through once more. And like I say at the end of every stream, tell somebody that you love them, because somebody needs to hear it. Especially in these days and times, there's a lot of people feel like they're all alone out there. And take care of those animals. We out. Peace.